Good morning, everybody. Good to be here with you all this morning, whether you're in Bradford or in Salford or in London or Newcastle, wherever you are this morning. It's great that you could join us, and we're so glad to be able to worship together in this way. If you've been with us over the last couple of weeks, you'll know that we've been working our way through a new teaching series called Bless. Okay, and it's all about how we can fulfill our God-given calling to be blessed and to be a blessing to those around us. And if you've missed either of the last two talks, you can find them on our website, on the sermon section, or even on YouTube. You can be able to find them on YouTube. And basically, if you search for Beardy Vicar, then I think you'll find my channel with all the talks from the last few weeks on it. So do have a listen if you've missed the last two messages. But basically, each letter of bless stands for a key principle for living. Okay, and if we put these principles into practice, then they will revolutionize our walk with God. They'll truly revolutionize our experience of walking with God, and they'll enable us to live the lives of blessing that God has promised for us, okay, and planned for us. Last week, if you're here, you'll know that we looked at the first letter, which is B, and B stands for begin with prayer. And we talked about how God wants us to spend time alone with him, soaking in his love every day, just like Jesus did. And if we do that, then not only will we experience more of his love and be blessed, but also we'll receive his guidance and his instructions, if you like, for the day ahead, and how, you know, how we are to be a blessing to those around us. And so there were three things that I encourage us all to put into practice. Okay, the first one there, start each day with prayer. Second one, find somewhere quiet where you're going to be undisturbed. So leave your phone in a different room or turn it off or anything, but just make sure you've got somewhere quiet to spend that time alone with God. And then thirdly, pray as you go. So as you go through the day, you know, your time of prayer doesn't finish when you say, in Jesus' name, amen, and then go and get your breakfast or whatever else is you're doing for the rest of the day. No, we continue our walk through the day with Jesus as our guide. So we continue to pray as we go through the day. That's what Jesus did, and that's what he calls us to do as well. So I wonder, how did you get on with that last week? Did you manage to put it into practice? If you did, fantastic. I hope you found it a real blessing. I'm sure you did. If you didn't, well, why not start this week and see what happens as you do that, as you take those three simple steps and see how it impacts your walk with God. But this week, we're moving on to the second letter of bless, which is L. And L stands for listen. And it was great this morning that Simon led us in that exercise of listening, just being aware of what's going on around us. And you might think that what I'm about to talk about is about listening to God, right? That's what we need to be doing. Let's listen to God. And yes, that is really, really important. We need to listen to God. Must always be listening to God. But that's what we were talking about last week, okay? This week, I'm talking about a different type of listening, and it might surprise you. So we're going to read now and listen to God's word, another passage from Mark's gospel, but this time from chapter 5. And so
Mark 5, verses 21 to 34. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," the disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering."
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. So, picture the scene. In fact, don't just picture it. Imagine that you're right there in the midst of it. You're right there with the disciples. You've just seen Jesus cast out an army of demons from a man who was so tormented that he used to live amongst the tombs, self-harming. And nobody could restrain him. But Jesus met him, commanded the demons to leave, and they fled just like that. And the man was restored, clothed, and in his right mind. And you were blown away by what you'd just seen. Jesus was so, so powerful. And then you'd got on a boat with him, and you'd crossed the lake again, back to your own patch. And word gets out that Jesus is back in town. So crowds and crowds of people come running to see him. And you find yourself right in the middle of a great heaving throng of people. And the atmosphere is electric. It's crackling with anticipation. What is he going to do next? And you don't have long to wait, because an important looking man pushes his way through the crowd and falls at Jesus' feet. And you recognize him. It's Jairus, one of the leaders of the synagogue. And he begs Jesus, "Jesus, come and lay hands on my daughter because she's dying." There's not a moment to lose. Jesus sets off with Jairus, and you're in the crowd, going along with him, being jostled on every side. You know what's coming next. You're excited. You know what's coming next. Jesus is going to heal this little girl, and it's going to be amazing. But then, suddenly, Jesus stops dead in his tracks. He turns round, and he looks around the crowd. "Who touched my clothes?" he says. "Jesus, what are you doing? This isn't the time to stop. You've got urgent business to be getting on with. Remember this little girl, Jairus' daughter, who's about to die? Come on, let's go." But Jesus waits. He just waits there, looking around the crowd. And then this bedraggled, terrified woman comes forward, and now she falls at his feet. And her story comes out. She'd been bleeding for 12 years, and nobody could help her. She spent all her money on various doctors, but she'd only got worse. She'd lost her health, she'd lost her wealth, and she'd lost her standing in the community, because according to Jewish law, a woman on her period was considered unclean. And that meant she couldn't go to the temple to worship. And more than that, anybody who came into contact with her, physical contact with her, well, they would be unclean too for the rest of the day. And she'd been bleeding for 12 long and desperate years. Jesus was her only hope. And so, like the leper we heard about last week, this poor woman did what she should never have done. She knew that asking a Jewish rabbi like Jesus to heal her by laying his hands on her was out of the question. She was unclean, and that would make him unclean. And so she would die of shame if she was caught doing that. But maybe, she thinks, maybe if I just touch his outer robe. And so that's what she did. And immediately her bleeding stopped. And she knew that she'd been healed. Jesus had the power to heal even when he wasn't specifically aware of a person's need. But here's the question I want us to ponder this morning. The woman, okay, she'd been healed, right? And Jesus knew that healing had taken place. He didn't know who'd been healed, but he knew someone had because he'd felt power go out from him. So someone has been healed. Great news. Job done. On to the next one, right? This little girl who's dying. But no, Jesus stops. He wants to know who has reached out to touch him. Why? Why is he so bothered? Why doesn't he just keep on going to Jairus' house where this little girl is dying? It's because this woman, this poor woman who'd suffered so, so much, mattered to God. She mattered to him. Everybody else may have looked down on her and avoided her, but not God. Jesus wanted her to know just how much she was loved. And so he stopped. He stopped to listen. To listen to her story. And as it comes tumbling out of her lips, Jesus doesn't try to stop her to spare himself the embarrassing details. No. He listens. He listens. And as Jesus listens, this woman feels the weight of the burdens she's been carrying for 12 long years. Her shame, her fear, her humiliation, just falling off her shoulders like an unwanted cloak. She realizes that she's loved. She realizes that she is accepted. She matters to God. Her story matters to God. And she's precious to him. She sees that her life has value after all. Why? Simply because Jesus stopped to listen to her. I wonder, have you ever experienced the power of being listened to? When I was in my mid-20s, I suddenly and unexpectedly found myself going through a really tough time emotionally. I'd pretty much sailed through life up until that point. But then, seemingly out of nowhere, I hit a wall of grief, anxiety, and depression. And for the first time in my life, I was all at sea. I felt lost, I felt scared, and I felt utterly bereft. I wasn't a Christian at the time, and I didn't know what to do or how to get out of this deep, dark pit which had swallowed me up. But thankfully, I had a mum who loved me. And because she loved me, she made the time to be with me when I was at my lowest, when I was struggling. And I wasn't used to talking about how I was feeling. I was a young man and, you know, growing up where I grew up with the friends I had, we didn't really talk about feelings. But somehow, as I sat with my mum at a kitchen table week by week, she helped me to open up and she listened to me. She didn't try to fix me. She just listened to me. And as she listened, I was able to put into words, for the first time, the feelings of despair that I had inside me. And little by little, week by week, the light of Jesus began to break through the darkness. And I found myself opening up to his grace. Because that's what being listened to does. It makes space for grace. You know, when somebody listens to us, I mean, really listens, It enables us to empty ourselves of all those pent-up emotions which can get in the way of us experiencing the love of God. And when we begin to express how we're feeling, it creates space for God to move. And we discover that our lives matter, that we matter to God. You know, despite all our flaws and our insecurities, God loves us. He loves us. And, you know, having experienced that in my own life, I long for other people to experience that too. Don't you? You see, the wonderful thing is that we can all be a part of that. Every one of us. You know, you don't need to be super clever or good with words. All you need is a pair of ears, or even one good ear would do. And a compassionate heart, a heart that desires to see other people experience love, peace, and joy. And all you need to do is simply make time to listen to people, to listen to your friends, your workmates, your neighbours. The guy that you see walking around the park every week, who just seems a little bit lost and all at sea. It's about making the space in your life for them to talk about the things that are on their hearts. It's all about making space for grace. And, you know, we tend to think that the best way for us to truly bless people is to tell them about Jesus. Yeah, that's what we think. We need to tell people about Jesus. And of course, we need to do that. We certainly need to tell people about Jesus. But other times we think, well, actually, what people really need is for us to advise them, to give them advice, to help them to overcome whatever challenges they're facing. And yeah, sometimes that's really helpful. It's good to give good advice. But before we do any of that, before we start trying to fix people, we need to listen to them. That's what we need to do first and foremost. And there's that famous little phrase, isn't there? You know, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. You should be listening twice as much as you're speaking. And it's a bit of a daft phrase, but I think there's truth in it somewhere. I think as Christians, we're known often for the things that we say. But I wonder whether God is calling us. In fact, I'm sure he's calling us to be known also by our listening. Because when we listen to people, it shows them that they matter. It shows them that they're loved. Somebody once said that the closest experience that you can have to being loved is to be listened to. As we listen to people, we show them that they are loved. And if they know that you, as a follower of Jesus, if you love them, then the idea that Jesus himself loves them becomes just that little bit easier to believe. And bit by bit, they will begin to open up to God. Because listening makes space for grace. But let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you made time to really listen to somebody? Not to talk at them, not to try and fix them, simply to listen to them. Because I bet that if you look back over the last week or so, you'll be able to think of occasions when you could have taken the time to listen to someone, a friend or a family member maybe, or perhaps it was someone at work who's going through a tough time, or a neighbour, or that person that you see as you walk around the park. And maybe you sense the Holy Spirit stirring your heart with compassion for that person. But then you got scared. Maybe you were afraid of seeing them upset. And so you steered the conversation towards safer ground. Or maybe instead of listening to them, you tried to fix them by giving them advice. You know, I get it. That's my natural tendency too. None of us likes to see people upset. And so we do everything we can to avoid having to encounter their sadness. We don't want to be immersed in other people's sadness, because we want life to be happy. I get it. And so we run away from situations and conversations which might make us feel uncomfortable. With somebody who's just lost a loved one, for example, you know, we try and steer the conversation away from their loss and onto other things to try and cheer them up. We try to move past the pain and the sadness as quickly as we can. And that's my instinctive reaction too. It's what we do. But that's not Jesus' way. Jesus didn't try to avoid our struggles and our sorrows. No, he did the opposite. Jesus chose to enter into them, even going so far as to die a cruel death on a cross so that we can know the promise of eternal life, life with him now and forever. Maybe it's not that you were afraid of seeing somebody upset. You were just too busy to stop. There was something else that you had to do, something really, really important maybe, and you just didn't have the time to stop and listen. But you know, when the woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years touched the robe of Jesus and Jesus felt power going out from him, he didn't rush on to his next appointment. No, he stopped. A little girl was dying. Oh, and by the way, in case you're wondering what happens to that little girl, as you read further on in the chapter, you'll see that Jesus raises her from the dead. Okay, so it all ends well with her too. But the point is, when Jesus experienced the power going out from him, he stopped, put everything else on hold. And he made time to listen to this woman. And she discovered more than the power of Jesus, the healing power of Jesus, she discovered his love too. And she discovered her true value. And so she returned home, transformed inside and out. And Jesus calls us. He says, follow me. He wants us to do what he did. So my question to you this morning and to myself, the challenge is this: will you do that? Will you? Will you make space and time to listen to people? Will you make space for grace? Because if you will, I know with 100% certainty that God will use you to minister his love and grace into the lives of people who don't know him yet. He will. And then you will receive the blessing of knowing that you've been a part of someone's journey to faith in Jesus and to the joys of eternal life. So church, together, let's do this. Let's put into place the L of blessed, listening. Let's be listening to people, and let's allow God to reach out to others as we do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you care for each and every one of us. You love us with a love that is stronger than death. And Lord, thank you that your love extends outwards, and it extends to those who don't know you yet. And Lord, there are so many people in our lives who are struggling right now. People who are close to us and people who maybe are just passing acquaintances. And yet, Lord, you love them. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would fill us with your Spirit and enable us to listen well, to make space for grace. And that through our listening, you would move in power to reveal your love and to draw people into your kingdom. Because we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.